Okay, welcome back to the Parsha Chibur. It's been a while since I was able to give it. Happy to be back. Did everyone get Makoros sheets? If not, okay, you want to just pass them back. But Ron, you got? Awesome. Okay, the month of learning in the Kol this month is sponsored by Dr. Moshe and Brian Ben Rosh. Le'ili Nishmas, Yaakov Kabel Ben Yechiel Tzvi HaKohen. So we learn now and this entire month Le'ili Nishmaso. And the week of learning is sponsored by Danny Javahari in honor of our good friend, Rabbi Mordechai Javahari. So we also learn in Rabbi Javahari's honor, which is a zchus for us. Okay. The psukim in the Parsha tell us the story of the man coming down from Shemayim, and of the likitas haman, of the fact that we gathered the man, that we ate the man, that we partook of it, and that was what sustained us while we were in the Midbar. The Torah does not really offer much in the way of describing the physical nor the halachic status of man. The pasuk tells us that it was lechem in Hashemayim, hini mamte lechem lechem in Hashemayim. It describes it as lechem multiple times. Lechem baboker lesboa, baboker tisbu lechem yidatim yinei Hashem elkechem. Again, lechem a third time in the bottom of the sheet here in source number one as well. But other than describing it as lechem, we don't really get much of a description. It's pretty cryptic. We have the famous explanation of the taste, of the ta'am, of the man, vayikru beis Yisrael es shmo man, because before they had said man, who, what is this? V'hu gezera gad lavan, v'taymo kitzapiches bedvash. Not really clear what in the world any of that means in terms of the taste or in terms of the description of what it was. I don't know, anyone ever hear this from Rav Tversky, this joke before? He says a story of there was a Rebbe in an elementary school who was giving shiur, he was trying to teach Parshas Haman. So he was teaching the children that the man came down from Shemayim, and the Klal Yisrael partook of it, and it was Kizere God Lavan v'taymo kitzapiches bedvash. So a kid raised his hand and said, what does that mean, taymo kitzapiches bedvash? He said, oh, my kind, you're asking very good. Let me explain better. The Jews were in Mitzrayim for a long time, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu took them out, and there was a Yitzis Mitzrayim, and it was a big nace, and then they were hungry in the desert. So a Kadosh Baruch Hu sent down lechem and Hashemayim, man, and it was taymo kitzapiches bedvash. So the kid said, but Rebbe, what's taymo kitzapiches bedvash? No, Vaita, the very, very, very good kasha. Avraham Avinu was chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he realized that he was going to make the Amma Nivchar, so he built him up and gave him children who were also Nivchar, and then they had to go down to Mitzrayim, they had to go through a galus, they were in the Kor HaBarzel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out, there was a nace of man, and it was Taimo Kitzapich Zedvash. So he said, but Rebbe, what does that mean? Taimo Kitzapich Zedvash. Said, I understand what you're asking. In the very beginning of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. There was a Shabbos, and then there was an Avraham Avinu, and then there was a Mitzrayim, and then there was a Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're in the Midbar. He gave us man v'taymo kitzapiches b'dvash. And the kid raises his hand a final time. He says, Rebbe, what is taymo kitzapiches b'dvash? So he reaches out, he smacks him. Shagetz, you're asking about Kol D'Maaseh Bereishis? So that I heard from Rav Tversky. He said it used to be that you can make a Berachas HaTorah on the jokes that people said. So the ketaymo ketzapiches bedvash. So we understand that there's some cryptic taste that was very wonderful, very miraculous about the man. Of course, we know that what the food was, man, lechem, tzviches bedvash, it's not only relevant historically, which is important too to understand what happened in the story in the Torah. It's not only relevant historically, but it's also relevant in terms of Hilchos Brachos. Assuming brachos were made over food at that point, that's an assumption we'll question in a second, but assuming people did make brachos over food at that point, or assuming that we will one day again eat man in the future, which I know, Zach, you were hoping for some Mashiach Tikka Sugya. So assuming we'll eat man again in the future, some of the sources assume that when we have a loss of love of the times of Mashiach, we'll have man again. So what kind of food was it? How is it defined halachically when it comes to Hilchos Brachos? So we could break that down into two questions, Bracha Rishona and Bracha Achrona. So Chazal do not provide any answer to the first question when it comes to a bracha rishona. Chazal don't tell us what bracha the man would have been. The pasuk certainly doesn't hint to it. Again, we have the words lechem, so that starts us thinking in terms of what brachas we usually associate with lechem. We don't have anywhere in Chazal or in Halacha that point us to a direction of what bracha rishona we should make on the man. So there are basically, the way I see it, three approaches in the achronim. It could be there's more out there, but there are three basic ways to break down. The first is there are those that assume that the bracha should be hamotzi lechem in aretz. The pasuk does say that it's hineni mamtir lachem lechem min hashamayim. And so, I don't know, the only bracha we usually associate with lechem is that lechem is hamotzi lechem in aretz. That's what some do explain. What's the obvious problem with making that bracha? It might be lechem, but it wasn't min ha'aretz. Ha'motzi lechem min ha'aretz doesn't really make sense over here. So that is actually an important source number two you have in the Chai Adam. The Chai Adam has a din not about the halachas of making a bracha on man, because that's not something that comes up every single day, but something that he does discuss that is relevant is the following. Echad mi'chamisha min ha'dagon, you have something from the five species of grain that we usually make a mezainis on, that's gadol be'atzis she'eino nakov. And it's in a potted, in a, you know, what's it called? In a, what's that? What's it called? I'm actually forgetting what the name is. A pot. Oh, it's potted in a pot, you're saying. I hear. So it's potted in a pot. Very good. And this nukov, there are holes in the thing in which it's potted. And you plant in there wheat to make pas, to make bread. And then you make bread out of that. So what bracha do you make on that bread? That came from grain which was planted in atzitz she'eino nakov, does not have holes and therefore is disconnected from the ground. You can't make amos lechem in aretz. Why not? It was potted in a, is a regular, it had to have been potted, but it was the regular grain of hamotzi. No, it's ne'eino nikar aretz. You can't say hamotzi lechem in aretz about that which grew from a soil in a pot that was disconnected from the ground. It doesn't maintain the bracha of hamotzi lechem in aretz. You can't say mina aretz. So the Chayadim suggests you would say boremi ne'mezonos. It still is zon. It still is boremi ne'mezonos. This is in the, this, it's in this context that the Nishmas Adam, the Chayadim in his footnotes, has that arichas about that kesem mishnah. Did we talk about that this year in Sanhedrin? I forget. Or do we talk about it in Parsha Chabur when we spoke about Gaya Nachri? But the concept that you can make a mezonos on any food, because that's the Lashna Kra of covering all foods. They're a zon. They give sustenance, the Kesef Mishnah, the famous Kesef Mishnah. So in this context, he says here, maybe you can make a brain minim mezonos. Then he has he's a little more masok about it, but he says, nearly, he doesn't think you can make a brain piri adama either, because it's not called adama, it's not called ground, unless it's mechubar to the actual karka. If it's potted soil, that's not considered adama, it's not considered aretz, so it's an issue. I believe that the Chaznish disagreed at the last point, that he thought that you could say adama, but you couldn't say aretz. And then Bori Pira Eitz is a separate suffix. Either way, what the Chai Adam is pointing out over here is that if bread comes, even if it's a product that is bread, just because it's a product of bread doesn't mean it gets a lechem in aretz. It only gets a lechem in aretz if it came in aretz. If it came from a potted plant, which wasn't in the aretz, or in our case, it came from the Shemayim, you can't say amotzi lechem in aretz. That's impossible. So you couldn't say such a bracha. That would be the same thing in our case as well. There's the Sefer I showed some of you a few weeks ago. It's by Rav David Yoel Weiss. Or David Yoel Weiss apparently is a silver engraver who lives in Eretz Yisrael. But he has an office that you can go and get your name on silver engraved, whatever. And in between customers, I guess, he learns. And he's this tremendous, you know, modest bucky and Talmud Chacham. He wrote these Svarim, Megadim Chadashim, which are, I think, pretty popular at this point. They're on the they're written al Seder HaTorah, so you have Bereishis, Shmos, etc. And I only have the volume on Shmos. I don't really have a book on the table that could describe how thick it is. It's like the size of the thickness of those Gemaras, but a little bit taller. A fat sefer, tons of pages with tons and tons of Maamar Makomos. He's such a bucky. So he has a couple of pieces about the man over here. In that context, he quotes from the Sifsei Tzaddik. The Sifsei Tzaddik defends the bracha of Motzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, even though it comes from Shemayim with a fascinating Sforno. The Sforno is important in other areas of Halacha as well, but if you look in source number three, the Sforno says that Klai Yisrael went out, some people from Klai Yisrael went out, Lilkot, and we know the Torah attributes that to them the status of Mechalei Shabbos. They weren't supposed to be located on Shabbos, they were supposed to have a Munah that enough would come, double portion on the Erev Shabbos, and they would leave the man out in the field on Shabbos, not touch it, but people went out and got some. So what do you mean? Why is it Chilul Shabbos? So he explains, that's Chilul Shabbos. Why? He says, because we were melaktim hadavar mimakum gidulo. They were plucking the man out of its place of growth. What do you mean out of its place of growth? It's chayv mishum tolish. He says, chayv mishum tolish, that they're oker davar mimakum gidulo. What do you mean it's tolish? Where did the man come from? It didn't grow from the ground. It came from Shemayim. But the Sforno apparently assumes that the man fell from Shemayim, and then it got embedded, it got absorbed somehow, or got latched onto the ground, it rooted in the ground. And because of that, that became its makum gidulo, that became its home, the ground. So if you would pick up man on Shabbos, that would be an isser of tolish, that would be a chi of a malacha of tolish, and that would be the chil Shabbos on Shabbos to do so. So based on that, this Sifsei Tzaddik that the Megadim Chadashim quotes suggests that really it's true, the lechem starts by coming min haShemayim. It's min haShemayim. But ultimately, when you get to eat the man, which is the lechem, it's lechem min haaretz. because it comes from Shemayim, but then it finds its home, it attaches to the ground. So you could properly make a bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, even though it started by coming from the Shemayim. A very fascinating suggestion. Okay. Based on our initial assumptions, though, that it comes from Shemayim, not from the ground, so the Stei Chemed assumes that Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz is not an appropriate bracha, it's not a fitting bracha, and therefore he suggests that the second option, the first option was make Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, the second option is there's no bracha at all, there's no bracha Rishon at all. You can't say Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, and there's really no bracha to say on it. The truth is, in a different way, that Rabbeinu Bachya, you have in source number 4, makes a similar point that there was no bracha, in which he basically says, Birchas Hamotzi was derabanan. It's a kal v'chomer that when you make a bracha, when you're nisba from food, when you're satiating yourself from food, kal v'chomer, you should make a bracha before you partake of the food when you're still hungry. But that's a kal v'chomer that only comes later after a Matan Torah, Ayideh the Chazal, brachos berchas enenin, which is what we assume the halacha, are only a chiyuv midarabanan. They're a chiyuv midarabanan. So if they're a chiyuv midarabanan, so it didn't exist back then. So first of all, we don't have a bracha that we could think of to make on the man, because we can't say Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz unless you have the chiddush of the Svarna when you use it to apply to this halacha. Second of all, there was no such thing as Berchas Anenin of Bracha Rishona. Bracha Achrona we'll talk about soon. Bracha Achrona, it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu was Masakin a Bracha Achrona on the man. We'll talk about that soon from Chazal, but a Bracha Rishona, we don't have such an idea from beforehand, so there really is no Bracha Rishona. The B'nai Yisaskar, everyone quotes this, the B'nai Yisaskar has an explanation for this idea. Interestingly, the Beis Yitzchak of Yitzchak Shmelkis in his Chuvas supports this B'nai Yisaskar with a Raya from a Tosefta. I don't know why he was working on this, but he was interested in supporting with a Raya from a Tosefta. But either way, the B'nai Yisaskar assumes that the whole idea of a Bracha Rishona is that all food that we eat has Nitzotzos, it has Kedusha that a person can uplift, can raise up in this world and help it achieve its potential of Kedusha. And it also has Psolas, it also has some wasteful parts of it that will drag it down, some Chumrius, some Agashmius in the food. So by making a bracha rishona, what we're doing is we're focusing, I'm explaining it almost in a niglatic way, but obviously it means more in derech nistar, but we're homing in on the kedusha shebo, we're being mekadesh the chol of the food by making a bracha rishona, and we're raising the nitzotzos of the food by being mevar, by doing borer, by selecting the kedusha out of the food and doing away with the psoles. Man was completely pure. Man was lechem min hashemayim. It had no gashmius. It had no psoles to it, and therefore there was no need for a bracha rishona. So not only couldn't you have a bracha rishona, but there wasn't a need for the bracha rishona in the first place, and that's what the B'nai Yisaskar suggests us to defend that opinion. Lastly, everyone quotes the Ramami Pano. The Ramami Pano had a third opinion that you don't say hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. You can't say that, but you have to say a bracha. So probably the bracha was hamotzi lechem min hashemayim. That was the bracha they made on the man, the bracha rishona. It's not the first person to say it. The first place I saw it was Reb Chaim Kanievsky has in his time of the Kran Parshas Kairach that the Sefer Chasidim Chadash says this as well, that they said Hamotzi Lechem Min Hashamayim, and therefore Lasid Lavo, when we're going to eat man again, we'll also say Hamotzi Lechem Min Hashamayim. Reb Chaim Pelagi said the same way as well. Others say a little bit slightly different, Nosach Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hamantir Lechem Min Hashamayim, but the same idea of lechem, lechem min hashemayim. Okay, so we don't have any explicit reference in Chazal to a bracha rishona. We don't have any source that supports one way or the other, but a few different mahalchim in the achronim as to what bracha rishona you make on the man. What about bracha achrona? So if you look in source number 5, you'll see a gemara. The gemara in brachos in Mem Chesam Beis says, Amar Reb Nachman, Moshe Tikin Yisrael berchas hazan, b'shash yard lahem man. Yoshua was misakin berchas ha'art when they got into Eretz Yisrael, David and Shlomo were misakin bonu Yerushalayim, and then you have Tova Metiv, fine. Shlomo was misaking Tova Metiv. In Yavne, they're misaking Tova Metiv. Sorry. So the Gemara in Brachos here says that Moshe Rabbeinu was misaking that first bracha, Berchas Hamazon, the Berchas Hazan, when the man came down Shemayim, that was when he was misaking it. The Chaznish asks a very, very, very interesting question on this Gemara. The question he's going to ask is interesting in lamdas and learning, in parshanas in terms of understanding the man, and in theoretical halacha, as we were talking about until now, the bracha on the man, but it also impacts halacha l'maisa very much, so it's important to pay attention if you want to understand a little bit deeper something in Hilchos Brachos. The Chaznish notes that you have a Mishnah in Masechus Brachos on Nun Aleph on Beis, you don't have it in the sheep, you have the Gemara in source number 6 on Nun Gimel on Beis. The Mishnah tells us that the zman for Birchas Hamazon, meaning let's say someone eats bread, and they're nizbas, so now they're chayv and birchas hamazon on a deraisa level. So they're only allowed to bench now for a certain amount of time. How long are they allowed to bench for? So the Mishnah tells us, Ad shenis achel, until the mazon is, the bread is digested, is totally broken down by the body's system, then you're allowed to, until then you're allowed to make a berachas mazon. After that, you're not allowed to do so. There's a shir ichul. The shir ichul is that during the time of digestion, you can still bench up until a certain point. As soon as the food has been digested, you can no longer bench in that food anymore. What does that mean, the shir ichul? So this is a machlokas in the Amoraim. If you look in source number 6, how long, kama shir ichul, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol zman shein ra'ev, meaning as long as I'm still full, I still feel the impact of the food which I have consumed, I am not yet, I was not yet misachel, the food was not yet misachel, I was not yet in fully digesting the food. But as soon as I'm hungry again, then we assume the food was digested. Reish Lakish says, kol zman sheyitzma lachas achilaso, as long as the food is impacting you in the sense that you're still thirsty because of the food that you ate, that's the zman of ichul, and then there's a discussion of whether it's dalid milim or achi yitzma, and that's a question of how much you ate. Okay, not so important for us right now, but the shir ichul is the standard by which we gauge whether a person is still allowed to make a berachas mazon. If the person is still not fully, has still not fully digested his food, he may still bench. If he already digested his food, shir ichul has passed, he can no longer bench on the food which he ate. Good so far? Okay, that's simple. So why is that the amount of time? Why is that how we judge the amount of time that a person is allowed to still bench for? Why is it based on the shir ichul, the time he remains satiated, satisfied, impacted, full from the food that he ate? Why is that the gauge? Why is that how we measure how long a person has to bench? So to start off, if you turn the page to page 2, source number 7, so you have the Chaznish, it's top, right, left. Okay, that's the order of the Chaznish I pasted for you here. So the Chaznish declares a very, very simple Chakira. To start a very simple Chakira, then a little bit of a more complicated Chakira. Not so complicated, just a little more than it is one. This one's very simple. What's the Mechayiv in Birkas HaMazon? A person eats enough bread and he's satiated, now he has to make a Birkas HaMazon. Why does a person have to make a Birkas HaMazon? So there's two possibilities. Yesh Lachor. It's possible that the reason I have to make a Birkas HaMazon is that I did a Maisa Achila. If I did a Maisa Achila that was kishir, that was enough food or had enough of an impact on me, then since I had a Maisa Achila, I now am Chayiv to bench on that Achila. That's one side to the Chakira. The other possibility, though, is that it's not the Maisa Achila which is mechayiv in benching. What's mechayiv in benching? The sviya, the fact that I am satiated by the food. If the mechayiv is the sviya, the fact that I ate food and therefore I was satiated, and since I'm satiated, I was nisba from the food, therefore I have to bench. So it's mistaber, it's logical, that once the shir ichul passes, and I am no longer full from the food, I'm hungry again, so what's mistaber? The sviya is gone, and therefore I can no longer bench. The shir ichul makes sense. If the chiyuv of benching comes from the fact that I am full from food, and therefore I must bench, then as soon as I'm no longer full from my food because it's fully digested, read shir ichul, as soon as that has passed, I no longer am allowed to bench. That makes perfect sense, right? Sviya ties up with shir of ichul. However, the Chaznish points out, he proves, in quotation marks, it's a very geshmaka and fascinating raya, but it's not really a proof, it's like a smach, what he wants to say. But the Chaznish assumes that really it's not the sviya, which is mechayiv, the satiation, which is mechayiv in benching, but really it's the maisa achila, and he proves that from Shitas Beis Shammai, in Maseches Brachos, Nun Alef Amud Beis. The Gemara there assumes that according to Beis Shammai, a person needs to return to the exact makom achila to bench. If he left his place of eating, he has to return to the exact makom achila to bench there. So the Chaznish says, what shaychus the makom achila? Let's say I ate a full meal in Pico, and then I went over to La Brea. So I'm full right now. It only takes 15 minutes to get to La Brea, so I'm still full right now. I ate in Pico 20 minutes ago, but what's the difference? I'm still feeling the impact. I'm still satiated by the food that I ate there 15 minutes ago. No, you have to go all the way back to the makom achila. Why do you have to go back to the makom achila? Says the Chaznish, what's obvious? Obviously, the mechayiv in the Birkas HaMazon is not the fact that you're full. You're full here and you're full there. The mechayiv in Birkas HaMazon is the achila, the maisa achila, which is the only reason you could possibly think. They have to go back to the makom achila in order to be mechayiv the mitzvah of benching, the mitzvah deraisa of Birkas HaMazon. The makom achila is relevant because the maisa achila is really the mechayiv. That's what the Chaznish assumes. Fine. The Chaznish assumes the maisa achila is the mechayiv. Okay, then what's the question? If the maisa achila is the mechayiv, then why should the shir, the amount of time that a person can bench for, be dependent on, be tali in, the shir ichol, the digestion time? I did a maisa achila, I didn't do a maisa achila. I am connected to the maisa achila, I'm not connected to the maisa achila. What does shir ichol have to do with anything in terms of maisa achila? So in a different context, the Magen Avraham you have copied for you in source number 7 under the Chaznish, right before source number 8, the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Berachos HaReach, the Magen Avraham helps us get a little bit of a deeper understanding here. The halacha is that a person does not make a bracha achrona on besamim. You smell besamim, you make a berachas areach, bracha on the fact that you're smelling something nice, but you don't make a bracha achrona. Why not? Why don't you make a bracha achrona? So the Magen Avraham quotes a kolbo. The kolbo explains that we see from our Gemara, Nun Gimel, that a person can only make a berachas amazon as long as they still feel the effect. They're still satiated, they're still impacted, they're still filled with the food that they ate. As soon as the shir ichol passes, meaning as soon as it's been digested, they're hungry again, they're no longer being impacted by the food. The moment the food has been completely digested, he's no longer being satiated or sustained by the food, and he can no longer make a bracha achrona. It's not being mezin u'mefarnesim at that point, so how can he make a bracha achrona? So too explains the kolbo, the Magen Avraham quotes, so too explains the kolbo when it comes to berachas areach. The besamim are this quick, fleeting hana'a. You smell it, and you enjoy it. And then the second later, you don't feel it anymore. Smell is a very fleeting sensation. A smell can linger, and you can keep smelling it if you stick around it. But if you pass besamim before your nose, you smell it for an instant, and you take the besamim away, you no longer have the impact of that smell anymore in your nose or in your body. It's a fleeting hana. Once you've smelled it, it's no longer having impact on you. So when you eat bread, and you wait long enough that you've digested, and you're not impacted anymore, you don't feel the svi anymore, you've lost your opportunity to say berachas amazon. So too, when you smell something, the instant after you've smelled it, you lost your opportunity to make a bracha achrona. So there's a bracha rishona of berachas hananin on the reach, but you can't possibly have a bracha achrona because you don't have a point at which you're still feeling the impact of the smell that you had smelled beforehand. Make sense so far? So that, from the kolba, what we glean is an understanding of what's happening in Hilchos Berachos Hamazon as well. What the kolbo seems to be understanding is that when you eat food, you're constantly being impacted by that food for the next however long it takes to digest it. Which means that that somehow that time of ichol, that time of digestion, binds your current state to the original act of achila. We'll try to spell that a little bit clearer soon. But basically, the fact that you're still digesting your food means that you're still in the process of whatever eating you started, however long ago, until you fully digested the food, at which point you're disconnected entirely from the eating process from before. We'll get back to that Linader Mirza Shem in a minute. The Chaznish is bothered because he quotes the Gemara in Yuma. You have in source number 8 the Gemara. No, you don't have it, sorry. The Gemara in Yuma on Amud Beis. We have Amud Aleph here, sorry. But on Amud Beis of Maseches Yuma, Ayin Hey, Amud Beis, Maseches Yuma, the Gemara tells us that man was considered lechem avirim, meaning it was lechem evarim. The bread that they ate, so to speak, bread, the man that they ate was absorbed immediately into the body, into the limbs of the body. You ate it, and then it just kind of absorbed into your body. There was no, what the Chaznish describes, there was no real digestion process. There was no real natural process of digestion and breaking down the food. It just was absorbed into the bloodstream, absorbed into the evarim, lechem evarim. So the Chaznish says, I don't understand. If all the man was automatically, immediately absorbed into the body, so then how is there any connection? Let's say you eat the man, and at that moment, the man goes into your body, it's absorbed completely. There's no process of digestion. What's the problem? How do you bench? The Gemara in Brachas on Memches tells us you bench on man. That's where Moshe Rabbeinu has been sakin the Berachas Hazan, on the man itself. But I don't understand. The second I eat the man, it's totally absorbed into my body. There's no shir ichel. There's no zman ichel. There's no time of digestion. So what connects my benching now to the Sha'as Achila from earlier? Can't you only make a bracha achrona during the Sha'as Achila, which is proven by the kolbo above, which only continues, only extends when you have ichel, when you have digestion? But if you have something like Berachas HaReach, where you smell it, and then it's gone, it disappears, you can't make a bracha achrona. So to the man, you ate it, and then it was done. It went into your body, it was done, it disappeared. So how do you make a berachas hamazon on that? So because of that kasha, the Chaznish re-examines the issue of shir ichel entirely, and he suggests that our previous chiluk is slightly imprecise and just needs to be said a little bit more delicately in order to understand, and he clears here a second chakir. Listen to this. This is gishmak. Why is it that one may only bench so long as they're still satiated from the food? Why is it? So the Chaznish says, Yesh Lachkor. There's two possibilities here in terms of how to understand it. I think if you want to look, you can see the on source number 7, the right side, the second paragraph that's pasted there on the right side, Ela Shadayin Yesh L'Stapik. This is where we're kind of quoting from outside. So perhaps the following is true. we do require that benching takes place immediately after the food was eaten. If you would wait until a long time, you'd have a shihia after the food was eaten, that would be a hefsik, that would be a break in time, that would shter your connection to benching. You wouldn't be able to bench so long after you've eaten. Okay, why is that? Because the mechayiv in benching is ma'isa achila. If you eat and then you bench right away immediately afterwards, okay, so you benched on your ma'isa achila. But if you eat and then you wait a half hour, 45 minutes, 2 hours, I don't know how long it'll be, but you wait a certain amount of time, that's a hefsik. You're no longer connected to your ma'isa achila, so you can't bench anymore. What the kolbo, or let's skip the kolbo for now, what the shir of shir ichel teaches us is that kol zman, that your body is still digesting the food, it's still considered the sha'as achila. Meaning, one can only make brachos during the time of achila, raya. After you smell the besamim, you can no longer make a bracha achrona because the fleeting moment has disappeared. As long as you're eating, you can say berachas mazon, but when you've digested it, when that moment goes away, you can't. Why not? Because as long as you're still just digesting the food, you're still involved in the sha'as achila. The zman achila is nimshach, it's carried on, it continues deep into the future through the shir ichel. As long as you're nisba, you're still in the sha'as achila. That's how the Chaznish presents the first possibility. The second possibility is as follows. Really, there is no need to bench immediately after eating. There's no issue of shihiya, there's no issue of hefsik. You have this again in the paragraph over here. Elamai, you could eat bread and then bench sometime later. It doesn't need to be connected to the ma'isa achila. It's fine. There's no dinim of hefsik. Elamai, once the zman ichel passes, there's a hafka. There's no longer a connection to the eating because any remnant of the meal, so if I eat today, can I bench in 2 years? Of course not. There's got to be some time where I'm no longer connected to the ma'isa achila. So it's not that the digestion carries on, stretches out your sha'as achila, but rather there is no need to stretch out your sha'as achila, but once you no longer feel the satiation, once you're hungry again, there's nothing to bench on. All of the hatava, all of the benefit that you received from the food has gone away, has dissipated, has been used up, and therefore there's really nothing to say at Berkas HaMazon anymore. The Zman Ichel in this option, it's not extending the Sha'as Achila like the first tzad, but it's the amount of time during which the Achila is still Shaykh to make a bracha, and after that it's just too late. There's no more connection to the original Ma'isa Achila. So the Chaznish says, if we assume like the second tzad, which is basically the assumption of the Kolbo, then we're stuck. That Zman Ichel doesn't apply by Man. There was no satiation after the Man was swallowed. So how could you possibly make a Berchas HaMazon? How could Moshe Rabbeinu be Masakin a Berchas HaMazon? But if you assume like the first tzad, that the pshat is like this, there's a din of hefsik by Berkas HaMazon, which means that if a person eats, they shouldn't be able to bench afterwards because there's a break in time. Elamai, as long as you're still digesting, we consider you as you're still eating. So you're still samach la'achila when you bench. When you get to a zman ichel that's passed and you're no longer being satiated by the food, the zman achila, the sha'as achila has ended and you can no longer bench because it's a hefsik. Okay, so in the case of when I eat bread, I eat, and it takes me an hour or 2 hours to digest my food. Fine. So throughout that entire time, it's as if I'm still eating. Then the time passes, I can no longer bench. But throughout that time, it's as if I'm still eating. It's still samach la'achila. There's no hefsik, right? What about in the case of the man? So according to the Chaznish, the second I eat the man, it goes into my body, it's absorbed into my bloodstream, I no longer feel the impact, I'm not having the satiation that's ongoing, so I can't have a continual sha'as achila. That's true. But what can I do? I could bench right then and there. If I bench right then and there, if I bench immediately after I eat the man, it's still close enough to the sha'as achila of the man that I can still bench because it hasn't passed the time of a hefsik. I don't know if it would be a half hour, 25 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, however the amount of time would be, it might not be totally in a shir of ichul, of digestion, but as long as I bench samach la'achila, that is satisfactory, that's enough. Based on this, the Chaznish says you can't say like the kolbo, because the kolbo would be stuck. Well, then why can't you say the same thing about Berach Zareach? Right after I smell it, make the bracha achrona. So instead, the Chaznish points to Rashi, which the Magen Avraham quotes as well. Rashi says the reason you don't make a bracha achrona on Berach Zareach is not because it's a fleeting hana; it's because it's a very insignificant hana. It's very intangible. It's not a very physical pleasure or benefit, and therefore it doesn't deserve a bracha achrona. It's an entirely different reason. But you have to throw the kolbo out according to the Chaznish. Rabbi Avraham Ganachovsky, I was looking during lunch, Rabbi Avraham Ganachovsky has an interesting additional nafkamina to this Chakir the Chaznish, where he says that if a person eats food and he satiates himself, he eats bread, and then he vomits, he throws up. It comes up all the time in Purim. He eats food, and then he throws it up. So should he bench now? He's not full anymore from the food from before. So if you assume that the bracha of Berachas HaMazon is tali in the fact that it's still the Sha'as Achila, because you're still full, it's still within the Zman Ichel, you're not within the Zman Ichel anymore. He threw it up. He vomited the food. So he's no longer Nizba from the food that he ate. But if you assume that as long as you're Samach LaAchila, so then if he ate the food, vomited, and then wants to bench, he's still within, there's no hefsik, he's still within the amount of time that it's okay for him to bench, and he would still be chayav on a deraisa level to bench, according to the second side in the Chazon Ish's Chakira. Basically, the Chazon Ish, though, has to do away with that kolbo, like we said before. He can't assume that the Sha'as Achila continues because there was no svia, there was no digestion, there was no satiation process that lasted ongoing when it comes to the man. But just a few marmakomas, and then we'll end, that maybe you could defend the kolbo, and maybe you could see that by man also, there was a zman ichul, and there was a sheer ichul, and there was a satiation that was ongoing even afterwards. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a shtickle in Gilyoni HaShas here on the Gemara in Brachos in Memches, where he asks an entirely different kasha on our Gemara. He says, how could it be that they said a berachas hamazon on man? We asked, the Chazon Ish asked, how could it be because you don't have any digestion process, there's no zman achila of ichul, etc. But the Rabbi Yosef Engel has a different kasha. You only bench on chamesh as minei dagan. It's very nice that the Torah refers to man as lechem, but it's not wheat, rye, oat, spelt, barley. It's not any of the chamishes mini dagan. So how could you make a hamotzi? How could you make a berachas hamazon on man based on the fact that the Torah calls it lechem is cute, but it doesn't give you the status as actual grain, as actual chamishes mini dagan? So how did they bench? How did Moshe Rabbeinu have a takana like that in the first place? So he points us to this Gemara in source number 8. The Gemara in Yumna Ayin Hey Amar Aleph has machlokas amarayim as to whether when the Torah... When the Kabbalah that we have, it tells us that whatever you dreamt of, the man tasted like, what does that mean? Does it mean that it was man, but it tasted like ice cream? Or does it mean that when I thought about ice cream, the man became ice cream? I'm not saying it literally in front of you looked like ice cream, but it took on all the qualities and all the characters of ice cream. Am I nafkamina? Let's say you're lactose intolerant. If you decided that you wanted to have ice cream, but you're lactose intolerant, will you be having a stomachache for the rest of the day? So according to the first opinion of the Gemara, no. Because it just tasted like man, but it just tasted like ice cream. It didn't actually become ice cream qualitatively. But the second opinion of the Gemara says, Tam kol aminin, taimo, ta'aman, ta'amu, ta'aman, u mamashan. V'halalu, ta'aman v'lo mamashan. Except for the exception of a few examples that the Pasuk tells us in Parshas Baloscha, the Gemara is saying here that according to Zman Da'amar, when you thought about ice cream, you tasted the ice cream and the mamish, it became ice cream, meaning it had a tangible change in quality, in character, and even in a chemical property of the food, took on that which you were thinking about. So you would have a stomachache from eating ice cream if you were lactose intolerant. Not so pashut. We don't have time to get into it too much, but if you look at source number 9 and 10, you have an Ibn Ezra in Chumash, and you have a Chiddush HaRitva in Kiddushin, both of which assume that they didn't eat matzah in the Midbar, all the years in the Midbar, because they didn't have any opportunity to have matzah, because they didn't have bread, they only had man. I don't understand. If you think that the man could change quality and become bread, it could become matzah, so why can't it be yotze in the mitzvah of matzah? So some of the Achronim challenge that. We're going to leave it for now, just to, in the interest of time, but that's a machlokas in the Achronim, whether these Rishonim are correct that they didn't have matzah during the time of the desert, or they did. Because if you thought about the man as a bread or as matzah, it became qualitatively and chemically, it became matzah, and you could taka biyotzi your mitzvah. The other place the Achronim and the Rishonim talk about this, the Rishonim Mamash talk about this, is the carbon shtei alechem also. Could they have a carbon shtei alechem in the Midbar through man? Or no? It may taste like bread, but it's not actually bread. It's not actually matzah in our case, so it wouldn't fly for those mitzvahs. A din for another time, you look at Rabbi Yosef Engel and you'll see a little bit about that. Either way, based on what we're saying, Reb Chaim Kanievsky in his time of the Kara in our parsha, in Parshas B'Shalach, so he suggests that the kolbo is very understandable and is very applicable even to achilas man. Even though the man wasn't physically bread, if you were mechaven for it to taste like bread, it not only tasted like bread, but it was taima umamasha. If it was taima umamasha, that means it had all the qualities, all of the character, all of the characteristics, all of the chemical properties of bread. So that includes that you can make a berachas hamazon, because now it's chamesh mina dagan. That means if you're gluten-free, celiac, you're going to have stomach problems for eating the man that you thought of as bread. And it means that you're going to be satiated for the next hour or hour and a half, because that's the quality of bread. When you eat bread, you get full. And that digestion process lasts some time. And the truth is, if you look in the psukim, it says this. The psukim say, if you go back to the source 1 for the psukim, it says, V'lechem baboker lisboa, uva boker tispu lachem. There was a svia. I don't, Chazon Ish assumes this isn't true. But the psukim seem to say this, that there was a svia, there was a satiation that was experienced by eating the man. Why? Because the man took on the quality of the bread. And when you ate it, you were nisba, you were full, you were satiated. And there was a time of satiation that lasted a certain amount of time and ended after a certain amount of time. So the whole kasha, the chaznish, doesn't get off the ground. And the kolbo is very understandable because you do have that hemshich, that continuation of the shas achila through the time of satiation, through the shir ichul. What does it mean that it was nivla be'evarim, the Gemara and Yuma? We're not going to get into it now. No, I want to. We don't have exactly time for that. The last thing I wanted to discuss, but I'm just going to be mitzayin it to you, is in source number 11, which is the famous suffix of Rabbi Kiv Eger. Rabbi Kiv Eger has a suffix about a katan who eats bread when he's 12 years old and 30 minutes away from being bar mitzvah. Then he becomes bar mitzvah, and he's still full. So should he bench now on Dorais level? Is he chayv in benching now that he's bar mitzvah? He ate when he was still a katan. He was patur from mitzvos. Now he's a bar mitzvah. Does he have to bench on that food on Dara's level? So Rabbi Kiv Eger has a suffix about this. The Chaznish has the same suffix. He assumes, he leaves it with Tzarachim, but initially at least he assumes that no. The whole din is that you can't have a hefsik, and as long as you have a shir ichel, that you're still within that time, so it's not a hefsik because the shas achila continues. But if you were a katan, when you did the shas achila, there was no maisa achila of a bar chiyuva, so even if it's only been 25 minutes and now you're a bar mitzvah, there's no hemshich, there's a break. You were pater and then you were chayiv. There's no continuation, there's no continuity. But he says the whole question is only going to get off the ground when you assume certain things. If you assume it's tali and svia, what we started with, if you assume berachas hamazon, the mechayiv, is dependent on the fact that you're still full, then this kid is taka full. Or a ger in the morning when he's a guy and he becomes a Jew in the afternoon, if he's still full from breakfast, he's still full. So why shouldn't he have to bench? On the other hand, if it's really tali and a shas achila and the maisa achila, then yeah, if I eat and I wait a half hour, that zman achila is mamshech, it goes on. But if a katan eats in the morning and then becomes bar mitzvah later on, even though the zman achila for me would have continued, he was first a nobody, now he's a somebody. You can't continue a shas achila through a time of tour into a time of chiyav. And because of that, the Chaznish assumes, although he leaves it to Tzarachim, like I said, he assumes that the chakira is good and is tali in that, but he assumes that such a person, a katan, it wouldn't be chayav in the berachas hamazon on daraisa level. The other place this comes up is the chay adam. The Rabbi Kiv Eger has been saying this. The Chai Adam has a suffix about an onain. An onain eats while he's not allowed to make brachos, and he's still full after the kvur. Now he's chayv in brachos again. Does he bench now since he's still full? Same sort of question. But all of that really is tali in the Chaznish's chakira about svia or achila. Within achila is the shas achila to mechayev, or the fact that you're still feeling some benefit from the shas achila. And all of that, the Chaznish is coming off the Kasha and the Tirutzim, all of that is coming off of our Parsha of Man. So the Halach Lamais is there, the Lamdus is there, and the Taichin, the words of Lechem and the Bracha Rishon is all there. And we should be Zochei if it's true that we're going to eat, I don't know any really the Marmakomas, but if it's true we're going to eat Man, Lasad Lavan, the time of Mashiach, so it should happen soon.